You have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 98. That's where we're going to be today. And so we're going to continue in our sermon series through what we call Christmas carols. And so we look at various Christmas carols, and then we look at, well, where do we find them actually in Scripture? And I'm just going to preach from that Scripture. And so this week we're going to look at the hymn we just sang, Joy to the World. And so the point of this sermon is really to help us understand why we sing what we sing. And so if we don't know kind of where the song has derived from Scripture, then we need to ask the question, well, do we really need to be singing it? And so that's kind of the whole point of this. And so today we're going to look at Joy to the World. And Joy to the World was written about 300 years ago by a guy named Isaac Watts. Little did he know that Joy to the World would become probably one of the most popular Christmas songs of the 20th century and would be translated into a dozen of languages. Now, what did Isaac Watts see in Psalm 98 that inspired this powerful Christmas carol that shouts just joy to the world to us? What he saw in this passage is just beautiful natural crescendo that Psalms 98 tells us about the roar of the rivers and the claps of the hills, and why do the hills sing songs of praise, and why do the seas roar, and why do the rivers clap? So we're going to begin this by just reading Psalm chapter 98. We're going to actually read verses 4 through 9. And so read with me in Psalm 98 verses 4 to 9 through 9. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with harp and song of singing. With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and people with equity. You know, when we were kids, we would sing carols and be jolly, but, you know, and we would just kind of sing because they were just fun songs to us, right? Like, Christmas carols are just kind of fun. They're kind of catchy. They're just fun to sing. But now as you grow older, like, let's be honest, like, we can grow skeptical of life. We can grow skeptical of just things around us, especially after 2020. We can be very skeptical about life. And so you may be thinking, and you may have thought as we were singing, how can we sing joy to the world after 2020? You know, how can we praise God and say, God, joy to the world, the Savior's come, when we have seen everything that we have seen and experienced in actually 2020? Why in the world would the heavens and the earth be singing praises to God? Well, I think it's kind of twofold here from what we see in Scripture. I think first, because Christmas is a story that God became man. And we never need to separate that from the Christmas story. So we celebrate God becoming man, and we say joy to the world. The Lord has come. Jesus was just not another baby at Christmas time, but he was God becoming man at Christmas. And Colossians 1:19 tells us, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. It was evident that Jesus wasn't just another baby, but he was actually a God-man. He was God becoming man. And when Christ was born, wise men followed a star for months, crossed borders to find this baby. And when Christ was born, real angels came down from heaven to sing praises and come to the shepherds and give them a message, which we talked about last week with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And Jesus' birth wasn't just another birth. When he came, shepherds literally tried to hurry to see him and find out why the angels were singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. And the shepherds marveled at this little baby. Now, most of us don't marvel over a baby. We may say it's cute, but we don't marvel over a baby. We see babies every single day in our life, unless it's your own. If it's not your own, you don't or at least your grandkid, you don't marvel over babies like most people typically do. Or especially a shepherd who is just this rough, tough guy who really doesn't get worked up over anything because he's out in the field all day. These men were marveling over this baby. So this wasn't just a new baby in town, but it was actually God in a manger. It was God with us, Emmanuel. And no wonder in Psalm 98, the heavens roared or the earth roared because the Maker was now with the creation again. And so should we say joy to the world because Jesus came. And so the carol says, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king, and let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. So what do we primarily see in God coming to us? We see God's initiative in loving us, and we see God's initiative to come and end suffering that we've created for ourselves because of our rebellion to God. You know, God has always taken the first step in loving us. He loved us first, and he proved so by sending Jesus to us. You know, salvation is always the coming of God to man. You know, man doesn't ascend to God, but God actually descended to man. And we see God understand this type of love by sending his son to die for sinners like you and me. And by the way, no other religion does this ever talk about. Every other religion, it's you working your way up to God and never God coming down to you to save you. In every other religion, you have to be good enough, you have to try harder, you have to do everything to be accepted. But here, you do nothing to be accepted because God has done all the work. But in Christianity, in Christ, you have God humbling himself and coming to us to take away our sins so that we may worship with him forever. You know, if God were to come to us and ask me or Courtney or whoever to become a worm, you know, it still wouldn't compare to us comparing to God becoming man, to Jesus becoming man and humbling himself to becoming man, to take on human form. There is no comparison that we can come up with that we can become for God become man. It is such a humbling experience for God to do that, but that just shows the amount of love that God has for us, that he would take on our sin and die for us, and so that we can be reconciled to him. And that's why the song says, let every heart this Christmas prepare him room. You know, and so what else can we learn from this hymn in Psalm 98? In the hymn, it says that he comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found. You see, Isaac Watts, the writer of the song, knows that it's not easy to actually sing joy to the world sometimes. He just acknowledged it three times that there is an actual curse in the world. Isaac himself was actually plagued with disease. His physical illness got to the point to where he actually couldn't be a pastor anymore. He was also rejected when he proposed to the one woman that he did propose to, and that's a shot to the gut when that happens to you, if it's the only person that you've ever proposed to, especially. He was actually faced constant opposition in his work by those inside and outside of the church. So he's a guy that knows if you're suffering right now, he knows where you're coming from. And so, but he's the same guy that actually wrote this carol, Joy to the World. And it was a way for him to preach the gospel back to himself. And basically he says that if there's a fight of ultimate joy, the joy that's found is in Jesus himself. And I wonder if you're feeling that humanity's rejection to God today, if you're feeling that curse today, how is it that in a broken world that we can say joy to the world? What are you plagued with this Christmas? What brokenness are you feeling today? And maybe you're carrying the weight of an unconfessed sin or maybe even a dark secret. Or maybe something similar happened to you. Maybe you've been rejected by people. That happened to Isaac Watts. Maybe you've lost your job due to COVID. Or maybe your pension or your retirement has been hit because of the struggling economy during this time. And you're wondering if it's going to last your entire retirement now. And so you can understand where the struggle is to sing joy to the world in this time, and how we can and how can we sing the song with such joy that the writer is talking about here. Because precisely what this carol is talking about and what Psalm 98 is talking about is that in Christ, sin and pain no longer have the last word. That even though that we're struggling right now and that this year has been the craziest year that probably most of us have experienced, this year doesn't have the last word. Jesus does. And yes, there is a curse, but there is one Savior that took it all, that took it from us all. And in Him, we will not experience the curse for eternity. And in Christ, the life you have now can have the same crescendo that Psalm 98 gives us. And instead of believers' life going downhill, Christ's life in Christ goes uphill when we embrace the Savior's arm and get back the paradise that we have lost in Jesus. You know, I know eternity boggles our minds because, one, we really just can't grasp with the fallen minds that we have what eternity looks like what eternity is, because eternity literally means forever, and it's hard for us to grasp the idea of forever. And so, but did you know that when this was written, Isaac Watts was actually thinking about the second coming and not the first coming more so? Yeah, the first verse is, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But if you really look at the other verses, he's really talking about waiting for the second coming of Christ to reverse the curse of this. So it probably would be a little bit surprising to Isaac Watts when he finds out today that's one of the most popular Christmas songs, because yes, it does have the first verse of the birth of Christ. But actually, the other verses talk more about reversing the curse and for Jesus coming back than it does about the birth of Christ that we see here. And so what we see here is that the King of Heaven came down and will return again to fix all that is broken, so we can sing joy to the world. But can we talk for just a minute about the new heaven and earth? That is something that sometimes that we don't ponder about enough. But in Revelation 21, it says this, starting in verse 2. It says, as I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, just think about this for a minute, okay? This is talking about how beautiful of a place heaven is going to be. Now, I don't know about you, but just think about for a second how long a woman in our culture thinks about what she's going to do on her wedding day, as far as like the preparation for it, with the decorations, everything's going to be in place. Like when Courtney and I were getting married, you want to know how long I thought about my wedding? About when the wedding process started to happen, okay? Do you know how long Courtney was thinking about the wedding? Probably longer than before than she met me, okay? Most women in our culture are thinking about preparing for their wedding long before they even meet the man that they're going to marry. They're thinking about, well, what kind of flowers am I going to have? What kind of decorations are going to be there? Because they want everything to be perfect for their wedding. Just think about what heaven is going to look like, because God is preparing that for us. He's taking the time to plan everything out and to prepare a place for us like a bride prepares for her wedding. And if a bride goes to the extent that we know brides go to prepare for their wedding, how much more beautiful will heaven be, because God is preparing that place for us. It's going to look more beautiful than any wedding that we could ever imagine, because God is preparing that place for us. And then it says that, going on, and I heard a loud voice from the throne room saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Listen, there will be no more racism, there will be no more hatred, strife, jealousy, no more sickness, no more death, no more debt, no more natural disasters, no more wars, no more presidential elections, all because the Savior has come. Because Jesus has come, all those things will be gone and they will not be anymore. Listen, heaven is a beautiful place. It is a real place that angels can measure, and the heaven is secure. Absolutely nothing to fear in heaven anymore. It is a place that we can say joy to the world. Listen, heaven is going to be incredibly beautiful, more so than we can even imagine. It's going to be Hawaii on steroids, okay? And heaven, and the beauty of heaven is going to be so great, but the beauty of heaven will not compare to the God that is actually in heaven. And that's exactly what Jesus came to give us this Christmas time. Not something from God, but a restored relationship with God. You know, fear not and surrender to Christ, that you and I now can have a relationship with Christ, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of pain, even when things are chaotic, and we can sing joy to the world because our Savior has come. And we rejoice in that, and earth is proclaiming that, and the hills are singing that, because Christ has come to reverse the curse, and He took on the curse for us so that we can have a relationship with God. The fact that Christ became man tells us that He knows our pain. He's been there and some. But this too shall pass. In Christ, we will receive a new heaven and a new earth that is fully restored. And we will be able to be with God like Adam and Eve was back in the garden. But here's the last thing that I think should cause us to sing joy to the world. Jesus came not just to reverse this curse and to take on the curse so that we can be in relationship with God. But He came so that we can also be like Him, to make us like Him. We became a son and daughter of God so that we can look more like Christ also and be that witness to others. You know, that cute little baby Jesus in a manger is the glory of the invisible God. Hebrews puts it in this way. He is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Guys, the birth of Jesus is more than a supernatural display of God's power, which obviously it is that. The birth had a clear purpose, that Jesus would lead sinners to God. That was His purpose. And the carol says he comes to make His blessings flow. And what is a greater blessing in life than a reconciled relationship with God? That is the greatest blessing that we could ever have, is God Himself. And the greatest blessings is not the absence of trials during Christmas, but the presence and the company of God in the midst of those trials. It's the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. And that's why we are able to say, joy to the world. In the words of the theologian Athanasius, he says, the incarnation has a goal. The goal is not just to bring God to man, nor for divinity to take on humanity. The ultimate purpose is for humanity to be able to put on divinity, for created man to be deified. And so the purpose is for us to be reconciled back to God, and for us to receive the righteousness of God so that we can now become heirs of God and become children of God and to be in relationship with Him and be able to worship Him for eternity. We can only put on the righteousness of God through faith and trust in Jesus alone. Listen, the purpose of this baby was an all-satisfying glory of God so that we can become sons and daughters of God by the saving grace that Jesus gives us. And at Christmas, Jesus became the human that understands your pain so that we can now have a relationship with God. Listen, sin keeps you separated from God. It always has and it always will. And then we need that forgiveness of sin. And the only way that we can receive that forgiveness is by grace through faith. But not only that Jesus came to reveal God to us, I think there's two things that we do about this revelation of God in Christ. One, you can repent and believe and trust in Jesus and give your life to Jesus for Him to make the calls 24/7 in your life. That you say, you are this God. I am a sinner. I need you. I put my faith in you. And then the other option you have is just to rebel, to continue to pretend you can somehow save yourself through good deeds, and you can save yourself through just working up this chain and thinking that just a devotion to good causes will just save you. And I remember talking to an atheist friend back in college one time, and I don't know why we had this conversation, but we did, and I was just like, I bet you really can't stand Christmas time. And I was like, just because there's Christmas carols, and I'm just going to be honest with you, most of the Christmas carols, even when people don't even know it, are about Jesus. Like, people are singing Christmas carols about Jesus, and they really don't even know it. And I was like, yeah, I bet you can't stand it. He's like, no. He's like, I actually love those Christmas songs. I was like, do you really know what you're singing? Like you're an atheist who's claiming like you don't know God at all. It's like, but you love the song like Joy to the World, like the Savior has come. Like, do you understand? Like, you probably should not like this song if you're an atheist. And so he was like, no, I really do love the songs and I love the season. And I never could comprehend. I was like, but the song's about Jesus. And I remember before I became a pastor, I was a terrible real estate agent in Alabama. Awful. And at Christmas time, we had this Christmas party at like for the local association. So like 200 realtors were there. I don't know why we had 200 realtors, but we had so many realtors for the amount of people that we had in our area. And so most of them I know weren't Christians because I saw how they were acting at the Christmas party. And so everybody was there and there was this Christmas party. And I remember at the end, everybody stopped and literally everybody was started singing Joy to the World, the Savior has come. And I was just sitting there thinking, I was like, Lord, do they even know what they're saying right now? What the song is actually saying? They're saying Joy to the World, the Savior has come. And I just began thinking, I was like, God, open their eyes to the reality of what they're actually saying right now. And help them to see that when they actually sing Joy to the World, the Savior has come, that they're singing that they're in need of a Savior. Because that's literally why he came, because we needed a Savior in our lives. And Psalm 98, which birthed this Christmas carol, Joy to the World, ends in this way. It says, let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. You know, Christ's first coming and Christ's return is great news for those who believe. Like, let's just be honest. Like, it's fantastic news that he came. And let's be honest, it's fantastic news that he's coming again. Like, those news are great. But may I plead with you this Christmas to put your eyes on Jesus and consider that Jesus is the Son of God and the only one that can be reconciled back to God. And he's our only hope for eternity with God. Listen, the only way for you to be reconciled with God is through a relationship with Jesus, placing your trust in him, putting your faith in him, and believing in him. Listen, there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. You know, and I know there's this movement out there that, you know, everybody says only God can judge me, which is very true. And I see it on T-shirts, bumper stickers, you know, tattoos. People say that. And it's exactly, it's true. Like, God does judge us, and we're not to judge, you know, we can call out sin and sin, but in an essence, like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but there's something that they're forgetting in saying that. He will. God will judge. Like, it's only God can judge me, but do you know he will judge you, and do you know what the basis of that judgment is on? Like, you have to think through that. Only God can judge me, but do you think through what that judgment looks like and the standard for which he's judging you on? Like, you kind of have to think through that. And as Psalm 98 says, that he is coming to judge. And what will you do in that judgment? Don't just make room for Jesus in your life. Give your whole life over to him, because if you are found in him, then there's nothing to worry about in that judgment. That you will be received as a son and daughter of God because Jesus bore your shame. He bore your sin, and he died for you and rose defeating your sin and death so that we can have a relationship with God. So the question is, do you believe that today? Do you believe that you need it? Do you believe it was for you? And believer, don't forget that the carol also encourages us in verse 3, no more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. There is nothing that will kill your spiritual life more than habitual sin. Listen, let no more sins and sorrow grow. So as a believer, don't let sin fester in your life, but kill sin every single day. John Owen always said, the Puritan, If you're not killing sin, then sin is killing you. And what each and every day we need to have a practice of always confessing our sins and repenting of our sins. The last verse in this carol says this: he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nation proves the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Listen, it is the love of God displayed in Christ that makes you whole. Listen, there is no other love that we have seen greater than Jesus coming, becoming man and dying for sinners like you and me. The greatest news of all humanity is joy to the world. The Savior has come. And now we can be right with the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. So when we sing this song now, let's sing praises to Him that He's come, but let's sing praises to Him that one day He's going to end all of this and come and to restore the new heavens and the new earth. And let's eat. As Christians, it's okay to eagerly look for that day and to wait for that day. But also, we have a mission to do in the meantime that till that day. And the reality is that we want everybody to be able to experience that goodness and that greatness of spending eternity with God. But the reality is the only way to do that is through faith in Jesus Christ. And we want people to experience that. So as much as we want Him to come and to restore all that, we also want the world to be able to experience that with us. And so it's almost in your heart kind of like a balancing act of wanting it and kind of like, well, wait, there's some people that we want to get there with. You know, like, it's just a balancing act with it. It's okay to want it. It's okay to long for to be with God for eternity. But also there's a balancing act. Like, God, just hold on. Like, there's some more people that I want to be able to bring with me. And so we pray that in the meantime, in this balance of the first and second coming, that we are doing the mission that God has for us. Because joy to the world, the Savior's come. And we can proclaim that to our lost family and friends. So let's pray today. Father, thank You for this hymn. And Lord, thank You for Psalm 98 and just the story of the birth of Christ, Father. Lord, the heavens and the earth just sing of Your praises. And Lord, allow that type of singing to come from our mouths also. Father, that we sing Your praises and that we tell everybody that the Savior has come. And we tell everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray that as we end today, that we will worship You. And, Father, just sing Your praises that You have come and that You are coming again. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.